And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you had a good week. I know I did, and I think a lot of people in the Bay Area did, and for obvious reasons. So we hope you were all celebrated out a little bit and can settle back and give us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're looking for your participation out there. Our lines are totally open right now. We have not one line lit up. So hopefully that'll change momentarily. But the two numbers to join us with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, yes, we still have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, please call us early if you can. We can give you more time the earlier you call. And if you have a long question, of course, that's very important. And also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And, of course, you're welcome to listen to us in the live stream right now at kalw.org. In case the signal's a little bit weak in your area. So again, that is kalw.org. And of course, the podcast, Debbie being here, the podcast will be up soon after our show tonight. And that will be also at kalw.org and a lot of other places, but start with KALW if you would. And all right, all that being said, I will say hello to my my fellow panelists who are joining us via Zoom. Kira Laurie, you are there, I assume?
I am here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And we start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Kira Pace is surprised to learn that the continental breakfast at the Philadelphia Four Seasons is just coffee in styrofoam cups and a half-off coupon for a water feature.
Wow. Yes. Although it's, you know, water features are nice, especially if you're into water sports. They're, you know, they're useful. Uh-huh. As a boy, Lori Fisher often dreamed of becoming the first Jewish second gentleman and is ecstatic that the job is going to Douglas Emhoff. Oh, Lori is also just a little bit thrilled about the whole Biden-Harris thing as well. Like many of us, he's breathing a whole lot easier today.
Boy, I sure am, and happy about the first second gentleman. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, couldn't be happier that the popular vote and the Electoral College got together and settled their differences last week.
All right.
Let's hope so.
That is us. And Kira mentioned the press conference that Giuliani had at the Four Seasons Landscaping Office. And not the Four Seasons Hotel, the Four Seasons Landscaping Office in Philadelphia to, of course, protest the tremendous corruption that went on in the Pennsylvania vote. I just normally would not bring something like this to your attention, but I will because I thought it was so funny. Patton Oswalt had a tweet today and making fun of the news conference that Giuliani had in Philadelphia. And in his voice, in Giuliani's voice, "This is not over, for we shall mount our righteous stands at Four Seasons Total Landscaping next to Fantasy Island Adult Books across the street from the Delaware Valley Cremation Center between the fire extinguisher and the yellow hose."
Nice.
So there
you
go. So, all right. So much for old business. Let's start the new business. And we'll be giving out questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So, again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And we'll start with Kira Pace.
All right. I'm not done with old business. So my first question, I believe I brought this up before, but I'll bring it up in a different way. So back in 2017, the Trumps had asked the Guggenheim to loan them Van Gogh's Landscape with Snow. Curator Nancy Spector, who is the hero we needed, politely declined, but offered in its place a piece by Maurizio Catalan entitled America. My question to you is, what is this piece? Can you describe this piece entitled America by Maurizio Catalan?
I cannot. Data?
No, I cannot. I cannot.
Is it a piece of sculpture?
Yes.
I don't even know. Okay.
Huh.
Okay. I did my part.
Is it what you would think of as a controversial piece?
Yes and no. It's controversial in that it was what was offered up to the Trumps.
So does it have anything to do with the action that takes place in the piece, if it implies an action?
Oh, it's so much more than implied. Right. No, it's pretty overt.
Is it explicit, would we say? Is it sexually?
It is not sexually explicit.
Anything to do with urine, by any chance?
Could have something to do with urine.
Okay.
Not necessarily,
all right.
But...
Well, then I will... Yeah, go ahead.
Did she do it as an insult in some way to the Trumps?
I do not claim to speak for Nancy Spector, so I will not answer that question. I can say that it can be construed as an insult.
All right. Well, let's leave that to the audience, and okay. Why don't you repeat the question?
Sure. In full, back in 2017, the Trumps had asked the Guggenheim to loan them Van Gogh's Landscape with Snow, but curator Nancy Spector politely declined, offering instead in its place a piece by Maurizio Catalan entitled America. Please describe this piece of art.
Okay.
And I have a question. Oh, excuse me. Was it going into the White House? Because Trump was already president then, right? Is that
yes.
where he wanted it to go?
Wow. Yes.
All right. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. So mine has to do with current events as well. If I counted right, and Dana, you'll know better than I, there are 14 vice presidents who have become president, and five of them, Biden, Nixon, John Adams, Martin Van Buren, and Thomas Jefferson, they were vice president. They ran for president and won. The other nine took office because of other ways, say the death of the president. I want to know who the other nine vice presidents who became president that way. And since there's nine of them, I'll give you, I know you can run the board pretty easy. I'll give you a total of five between the two of you.
All right, Kara, you go ahead.
I'll start with Johnson.
Oh, Lyndon Johnson. Very nice. Okay.
Sure.
Give her a bell for that. Yep.
All right.
Easy peasy. And then I believe there's another Johnson on there.
Which one's he?
He's the, is it? Yeah, it's after Lincoln. Is it Andrew?
It is.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
One Johnson's the same as another. I don't care.
That's right. I give you double credit for the Johnsons. All okay. Right. Dana, you want to take two or three?
All right. So we'll start with John Tyler after the death of William Henry Harrison. Millard Fillmore after the death of Zachary Taylor. Kira already mentioned Andrew Johnson. Then Chester Alan Arthur after the death of James Garfield.
I'm going to stop you there. It looks like you're reading from the same list that I am in chronological order.
So I don't have to read
impressive.
From the list.
I know. That's impressive. Anyway, okay, so that's very good. So we have knocked out both Johnsons, John Tyler, Millard Fillmore, and Andrew Johnson. We're looking for how many more? Four more.
All right.
And so we'll restrain Dana if possible.
All right. We'll leave that out, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, there.
Hi.
This is Janos from the Richmond, where it did not rain today, I'm sorry to say.
Right.
And I want to be honest and tell you that you were my second choice to ask this question after I tried the White House and could not get an answer.
Okay.
The question is, between the AP calling the election and the Electoral College submitting it to Congress, in other words, right now, who is deciding who won the election?
So,
and I tell you, the White House had no answer.
Right. Well,
officially?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Laurie asked you if you meant officially.
Well, who decides if Biden starts getting, he has the Secret Service protection, but lots and lots of money. So the president-elect will be officially and monetarily the president-elect.
Right.
Who is going to decide it?
Well, let's see. That's an interesting question. You're not talking about the process where the states
report. Not the process. I'm talking about one person.
One person. Okay. Then
his name is not Donald.
Right. It's.
In fact, it's a woman.
Huh.
Is it so the head of the Secret Service?
Nope.
Is it the chairman of the?
Nope.
So it's nothing to do with the election commission, the Federal Election Commission.
No.
Okay.
Is this an elected official?
Appointed, and as it happens, the person received 100% approval in 2017. So it's a Trump appointee, but had complete trust of the Senate.
So anything to do with the Justice Department, then?
In a way, yes.
Will we know this person's name or just their title?
I don't think I can't even give you the name, and I don't think you will know it because I didn't have to look it up.
Okay.
All right.
The name is Emily Murphy.
Emily Murphy has.
So the question is, who is she?
Right. Who is she? I do not know. I don't know.
Ah, so not only the White House, but you fail me too.
I'm afraid so.
Okay. So ready?
Yes.
The naming of the winner of the election between, you know, now and the end of the process is something called the ascertainment. Ascertainment. I never saw that word before. And it's the director of the GSA, the General Services Administrator.
Okay.
Whose name is Emily Murphy, and the Biden team already asked her on Saturday, and she didn't have the answer yet. I think tomorrow it will happen.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Janosch.
Sure.
All right. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here, and let's see what we start with. All right. So which of the three 13 original colonies have never had a president born there? I'll give you each one guess. So which of the three original 13 colonies that became later the United States have never had a president born there?
Do you mean which three of the original 13 colonies?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
So one guess for each of you. Yes. Go ahead, Kira.
I need a second. I need to think. Go
ahead.
I'll take mine. Is there one from South Carolina?
There is.
Okay.
Yes. Andrew Jackson was born in South Carolina.
Oh, is that where he was born?
Yep.
Okay. My bad.
Is New Hampshire one of the states?
No. Franklin Pierce was born in New Hampshire.
Oh, I should have known Frank Pierce.
Okay, so which three of the 13 original colonies have never had a president born there? Okay, so I'll leave that out for you. And let's see. Of course, we lost Alex Trebek. I shouldn't say we didn't lose him. He died today. And so he has hosted eight game shows other than Jeopardy. Eight game shows other than Jeopardy were hosted by Alex Trebek. And he hosted a couple in Canada as well, but I'm not counting those because nobody would know them, and I didn't, certainly. So what are the eight game shows besides Jeopardy that he hosted in the United States? I'll give you each a guess.
Did he do tic-tac-toe?
He did not. He certainly did a couple shows that were similar to that, but no, not tic-tac-toe.
And was he always the replacement host, or did he originate any of them?
He originated a couple of them, I think, yeah. None of them are as famous as Jeopardy, though a couple of them are fairly well-known, but not as famous as Jeopardy.
You have one, Kara?
Did he do Concentration?
Yeah, I'm going to give that to you. He did Classic Concentration. So he just did that for a couple years, I understand.
Whew.
So that's good. So
and how about Match Game?
Nope, never did Match Game. I think he was on it. I mean, as a one of the celebrity contestants, but I don't think he never hosted it.
Yeah.
So once more, which three of the original 13 colonies have never had an American president born there? And this can be before – this person could have been born before the United States became a country or not. It doesn't matter. And Alex Trebek hosted 8 different game shows before he even got to Jeopardy. So what are those? And I'm only using the shows he hosted in the United States, not the ones in Canada. I'll give you one more because it's an election question that I want to – well, sort of an election question that I want to get out of the way today. So what state that voted Republican in the last – this week – or last week, I should say. So what state that voted Republican this year has produced the most Democratic presidents?
Ohio?
No. Those are all Republicans, believe it or not.
Okay.
So what state that voted Republican this year has produced the most Democratic presidents, Democratic Party presidents?
Yeah.
All right. Think it over.
Yeah.
You can guess later if you like. And in the meantime, the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So you heard about what Giuliani's daughter recommended to vote for Biden, and she had too many not very kind words for her father. You heard about that?
Yes.
I did.
You know her name? Well, you can Google it. Caroline.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. First question, it kind of fits the mood. One other one before we go. Do you know who hosted Jeopardy before Alex Trebek?
We can all answer that, I think. Art Fleming?
Very good. Okay, that is very good. Yes. Okay, so my first question is, which president came on national TV and said, "My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over"? Who was the president who said that? "My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over"? Who was the president who said that? And what was the occasion? I thought all of you should know it right away.
Yes, I know it, but I wanted to give my
okay,
fellow panelists
no,
there, a chance.
Go ahead, please.
Do you want to guess either one, Kira?
I don't know. Sure.
Oh, nope.
All right, then is Gerald Ford. It was Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford it is. In fact, I remember the day I was driving my car on Shattuck Avenue in Berkeley, Shattuck University, and they heard it on the radio. Okay, what was the occasion?
Well, he became president and pardoned Nixon, and right. That's why.
Well, it's basically Tabin when Nixon resigned.
Resigned, yes.
What is the date?
President. Oh, it's August. I don't remember the exact day. I want to say August
9.
Is it the 9th of August?
Yeah.
1974.
Very good history. Now, I just like to beat again, my fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over. I like to add the word amen. I think it's what we have to do. You know, what we have now is far worse nightmares than we had in 1973 or 74. Very quick question. Would this planet have two moons? One is called Phobos, which means fear, and the other one called Deimos, which means... it means panic. Which planet it is? It has two moons.
Kira, I'm sure you know this.
Yeah.
Mars?
Mars it is. Yeah, funny names. Phobos for fear and Deimos for panic. Well, I hope we get out of this whole mess very soon because it has been a horrible week for many, many, many of us. I hope it is over and how Biden takes, because this is a very dangerous time. Never mind this man have access to the nuclear football. You know what that is?
Right.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful. He's crazy. Thank you and have a good night.
All right. Well, he'll be a crazy ex-president soon. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
This question is on the memory of
Sean Connery, who passed last week.
Right.
So Sean Connery and the actor who played the Goldfinger, both of them played together in another movie.
Oh.
What is that movie?
So Gert Frobe is the other actor, right?
That's correct.
And
Gert Frobe.
So they both played together in another film. Would this be? Is this before or after Goldfinger?
Before.
Oh, okay. Let's think about this for a minute. So, did Connery have a very small part?
The part that both of these actors played, they were not really the main characters. The movie is a famous movie, but neither of the two had, you know, the top billing at all for the movie.
So you said this was before Goldfinger?
Oh, I know. I know what it is. It's The Longest Day. Connery was a soldier on the beach at Normandy, and Gert Frobe was a sergeant in the German army, I think, or something like that.
Exactly. You got it.
All right.
Nice.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. So I think some of these have been asked before, but, they can come up again, I guess. So of these specifically named title characters of Shakespeare, so I'm talking like the ones that are specifically named, not Merry Wives of Windsor, for example. Of these specifically named title characters of Shakespeare, which five have had the most lines and which five have had the fewest lines? And by lines, I mean, like sentences or utterances, which I think is a different count, perhaps, than speeches, which is where they're grouped together. But it's still, I think, ultimately the same answer.
I don't think I'm stealing anything from Laurie because I'm sure he knows this. Hamlet is the one that has the most lines.
Hamlet does have the most lines.
Right.
And I think King Lear is going to be in the top five.
He is not.
Oh, okay. Then Othello would be.
Othello is.
Yeah.
Good.
Oddly enough, not even the most lines from Othello, though.
Iago gets that up.
Yeah.
I thought Iago have more lines than Othello in the play?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But Othello but the play's not called Iago. So
right.
The play's called Othello.
Okay.
So he is third on the list.
Okay. And it seems like I might have read this someplace and I could easily be wrong. Wasn't Julius Caesar one of the ones with the fewest lines?
Yes, he has the fewest, depending on how you count. The way I counted, he has 154.
Okay. Oh, all right.
As far as, speeches, it's counted as, 42 or something, but he's still the fewest.
Are you looking for the fewest, too, or is the question focusing on the most?
Five most, five fewest.
Oh, five most, okay. And so Lear's not in either, okay.
He's not, but there's one answer I was expecting from you, Lori, and I'm shocked that you did not give it.
Jerry Lee Lewis. No. well, Macbeth. Is that the one you're shocked that I didn't give? There must be some reason.
No, okay. Macbeth isn't one of the ones on the list.
He's not on either of the. He's not in the top 10 of either.
What's your one standard Shakespeare answer?
Mine?
Yes. Whatever. Some audience member will call in knowing exactly what Laurie always answers to Shakespeare.
How about Timon of Athens is one of the most.
There you go. Fourth.
Is that should be mine?
It was, yes. Timon of Athens.
I'm the one that always says Timon of Athens.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. About two out of 10 times I'm right. So,
well, this is one of them. Timon of Athens. It's 850.
It's the Utah of Shakespeare.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. It's Utah, Hawaii.
All right. So why don't go ahead.
I have one more. Sure. Are any of them paired characters? So like is Anthony or Cleopatra count?
One of them does.
Okay, then.
And one of them missed the list by about 100.
Okay, let's see. It's going to be Cleopatra.
Incorrect.
Then it's Anthony.
There we go. And Mark Antony has 839 lines.
So he's up there. Okay.
He is up there. He's number five. So we have 1, 3, 4, and 5. So the question again, of the specifically named title characters of Shakespeare, so we are not talking any of the Merry Wives of Windsor, which five have the most lines and which five have the fewest lines? And I'm talking sentences and utterances. Those are individually counted as lines. So the five... most, we have four of them. We have Hamlet, Othello, Timon, and Mark Antony, looking for one more. And the least, we only have one of the five, and that is Julius Caesar, so looking for four more.
All right.
Dana, you have any more?
No, I'll let other people guess on that.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a... kind of a patriotic question I just thought up on the fly here. But first, let me ask you this. This is a kind of a strange question, and I don't think anyone would really really know it. But there was a song recorded in the early '60s. That was resetting of the Stephen Foster song, Oh Susanna. In other words, the Stephen Foster lyrics, but to a different tune. And that tune later, in the late 60s, became a hit with a different set of words. What song was that?
Hmm.
The later song had different words and different name.
But it had the same melody. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So first they changed the lyrics?
That was a strange question. What?
First they changed the lyrics, but kept the melody, and then they redid that? So it went through two iterations.
No, it was, right? Completely different lyrics, but just the same tune.
Well, we could easily leave it out to our vast listening audience and let them guess if they like.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. So
okay,
this
next question I'll just throw out to you guys.
All right.
And you should hang your heads in shame if you can't. This is a very loose question, so opinions might differ.
All right.
But you should hang your heads in shame if you can't get at least some of them. Okay, the original 13 colonies. What kind of people in general were the early settlers there? Talking, you know, European settlers.
You mean from what countries?
Not the Native Americans. So we're talking what religion or what ethnicity or...
Wait, do you mean like the Quakers in Pennsylvania or something?
What was that?
The Quakers in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good...
Okay.
And also, what other major ethnic group was involved in Pennsylvania, especially the area around Pittsburgh, the
ethnic
Southwest.
Are you talking ethnicity or are you talking religion now?
Yeah. Like,
well, actually, kind of both.
Well, they're the Huguenots that
generally
came to...
What part of the world do they come from?
This is a very loose question.
It is. It is.
Yes.
It's quite loose.
Yes, it certainly is. And Akira, of course, is right about that. The Quakers, and then of course the Puritans in Massachusetts, and they were French and Spanish.
Oh, you're going too fast. Wait.
Yeah, and then of course the French in some areas of the Carolinas and British settlers. I mean, there's a lot of answers to this question. So
right.
The French in the Carolinas?
Yeah, there were French settlers in some of the Carolinas, and the French settlers in New England as well.
And then there's, if you're just talking about rando groups, there's a group of prisoners in Georgia.
Yeah,
that was
right.
A penal colony.
Well, that's what I'm going for here.
Okay.
So what about Virginia, North Carolina?
And, of course, they were indentured slaves, and they were the full-bore slaves. There are too many answers to this.
Who, if they were the slaves, who were the masters? What kind of people were they?
generally the English.
A little more sensitivity. They were marked by a certain, what would you call it, orientation.
Orientation.
The people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia.
Well, most of the people with money were land grant, people who had...
some were land grant.
But
they had a lot. There was an important thing about them, the earliest ones.
Yeah, tell
not
us.
Not the Virginia, not the James colony, but the ones that immediately seceded them.
So tell us then, what is it?
Oh, well, they were the people that lost the English Civil War. So they were essentially aristocrats, nobility. And a lot of them, though they became masters later, a lot of them came in chains, even though they were the friends of the king in the English Civil War.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, but one more. Well, what about Maryland?
Be
really easy.
Maryland. What about Maryland?
You can tell by the name.
Probably Catholics then for Queen Mary.
Catholics,
right?
Exactly.
All right. Good.
And what about Delaware?
Dutch. No, it's New York.
Dutch, and then the Dutch didn't leave much of the trace. So.
Right. Okay, we have to go. I'm sorry. We have other calls waiting, so we have to do that. Thank you. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. I'm sticking with the election, and I want to know the three states that had the highest percentage of citizens who voted for Joe Biden, the winning state. But I'm leaving California off the list just because they're a little too easy. And I'm looking for the three states that had the most people who voted for Trump percentage-wise. So I'm looking for the highest percentage in all cases. I'll give you the amount if you get it. Three highest that voted for Biden, the three highest that voted for Trump.
Kira?
Oh, do you know, I didn't actually – those maps change so much. I honestly don't – I could not tell you.
This was as of this morning. They did change some, but
– Yeah, I didn't look this morning.
Okay. Well,
all right.
It didn't change a lot from the day before, but you can
– I think the highest percentage for Trump was West Virginia.
It was the second highest. Very good.
Second highest. Okay.
Yeah. Fred from West Virginia should be calling to complain.
All right. And I think Oklahoma was pretty high too.
Oklahoma was third.
All right.
Oklahoma 65%. West Virginia 68%. And there's a state with 70%.
Wyoming is number one, I think.
That's right.
All right.
All right. So you ran the board on Trump. Give yourself a bell.
All right.
Dana, I'll just give you one of the Biden states. And Kara, I'll give you one too if you want one. But not California.
I'll say Vermont.
Would be second.
I'll say Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont is third. Very nice.
Okay.
65%. Kara, got one?
No.
Okay. So we're looking for two more states that voted for the highest percentage for Biden, Wyoming, West Virginia, Oklahoma. You ran the board for Trump.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have two music questions for you.
Okay.
First one. Who is Sarah Anderson, and where did she spend a month?
Is she a character in a song, or is she a singer? Is she a performer?
She's a singer, and she has a different name.
So she's not known as a singer by the name Sarah Anderson?
No.
Okay. Is this current, or are we going back a ways with this?
We could go back a ways.
She's still alive?
She's still alive.
Was she popular in like the 60s, 70s?
She was popular, late 60s till today.
Oh. What's her name? Sarah Anderson?
Who is Sarah Anderson?
But not her stage name. It's a different name. We know her by.
Where did she spend a month?
Is that something in one of her songs, or is that a real biographical detail?
No, that name is not in one of her songs.
No, the spending a month somewhere, is that a line from a song, or is that actually a biographical? Okay.
It's a reality. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Anderson. I wouldn't know. Yeah, she's known by a different name, so that doesn't ring a bell with me.
Well, who is popular in the late 60s, who's popular now, who isn't going by their Sherilyn.
She only went by Sarah Anderson for a month.
Ooh. Oh.
And then became this famous person.
She was already famous.
Oh.
So she's sort of undercover for a month? I mean, as...
For a month,
was she a part of, was she as a guest backup singer or, was she ghosting something?
No, she was she's the front singer.
Front singer.
And was she with a group? Like Diana
Ross?
She was
with a group.
Is there a girl like Grace Slick? I don't actually know what Grace Slick's real name is.
You're getting warmer.
So was she the front singer? Did she replace somebody for a month who left a group like the Supremes or something like that?
No.
Okay, but she only did this for a month then. But
she went somewhere for a month under the alias Sarah Anderson.
And then return to her fame as not Sarah Anderson, right?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think I misinterpreted this question. Okay. So we know her by her normal name or by perhaps her birth name. So she was famous under her name in the 60s, and then she went somewhere for a month as Sarah Anderson. Then she came back to her the name that she was already famous by?
Yep.
Okay.
I have no idea. Honestly.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Sarah Anderson is Stevie Nicks, and she checked herself into the Betty Ford Clinic for a month.
Nice.
Debbie whispered that in my ear. Greg, did you hear that? Stevie Nicks was in the Betty Ford Clinic for a month. All right.
For those who don't know, that's Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Do you want an easier one?
Okay.
Okay. There is a call-out song that begins with Son of a Gun. What is the song, who is the artist, and who did they call out?
This is not my era.
And this is how the song starts, Son of a Gun?
It starts with Son of a Gun.
Right.
Is this also call-out Fleetwood song. Mac? Is this also Fleetwood Mac trivia?
No.
Okay.
Is this the similar era to what your previous question?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea, honestly.
So it's not Hank Williams singing Son of a Gun, we're going to have some fun by the bayou, is it?
No.
he's got it in there.
All right. I guess you should tell
us. It's going to be like Heart or something.
Okay. The song is You're So Vain. The singer is Carly Simon, and she called out Warren Beatty.
Oh, right.
Well, there's controversy about who she was singing about,
I thought didn't she say that she, like, each verse is about a different person? And one of them was Warren Beatty, but there are two others.
One was Mick Jagger. And then go ahead.
There was a thought it was Mick Jagger, but if you go to Wikipedia, you can find out that it's all about Warren Beatty.
All right.
Well, I know in one interview she said she has changed her answers in the interview of her time just to kind of be playful about it. So I don't know if there is a definitive answer, but it's fun to think about. Good question.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a great night.
Thank you. All right. We better repeat the questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. Back in 2017, the Trumps asked the Guggenheim to loan them Van Gogh's Landscape with Snow. Curator Nancy Spector declined, but offered in its place a piece by Maurizio Catalan entitled America. Please describe this piece of art. So that was the first question. The second, of the specifically named title characters of Shakespeare, which five have the most lines and which five have the fewest? The five, we have four of the five with the most. Those are Hamlet, Othello, Timon, and Mark Antony, looking for one more. We have only one of the fewest, and that is Julius Caesar. So we're looking for four more.
All right, Laurie.
On Kira's, is Richard III the missing most lines one?
He is not, but you are right to think historical.
Richard III's lines are spread over a couple different plays.
Yeah, this is true.
Yes.
And one of the fewest has got to be one of the Henrys, but I get them all mixed up. How many? Or there might be more than one Henry. Henry the Second, Henry the Fourth, Part One, Part Two. So give me a Henry, okay?
You said Henry the Fourth, so I will give you Henry the Fourth in Henry the Fourth, Part Two, which is 291.
Right. All right, Lori, please repeat your questions.
Yeah, so I'm looking for vice presidents who became president, but not by being elected initially because of either a death or something like that. Dana ran the board on most of them. We're looking for four more. They're the four most recent ones. And my other question is, which two states that have not been named voted in the highest percentage for Biden? Wyoming, West Virginia, Oklahoma voted highest for Trump, and we eliminated Vermont for Biden. We're looking for two more, and California is not on the list only because I eliminated it. It would be second.
All right. Of the 13 original colonies, which three never had a president and later became states, never had a president born there? So of the 13 original colonies that became the 13 first states, which three have never had a president born there? What state that voted what state that voted Republican this year has produced the most Democratic Party presidents?
How many Democratic Party presidents did this state produce?
Two. Which state that voted Republican this year has produced the most Democratic presidents?
So is it how about Texas? Have they had two presidents?
They have had two presidents, but one was a Democrat and one was a Republican.
Oh. Not too dumb. Okay.
And let's see. Yes, the game show is hosted by Alex Trebek in the United States, not the ones in Canada. He hosted eight different game shows before he did Jeopardy in the United States. Kira got Classic Concentration. What are the other seven? And I'm going to take a call. And then, Lori, if you have a short question after this, because we're running a little later than normal.
I do.
Thanks to some couple of wordy callers. Not that we're begrudging you your wordiness, but we want to take as many calls as we can. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey, Dana. It's Megan in San Francisco.
Hi, Megan.
I have a couple of guesses to the outstanding questions. For the state that voted for Biden in the highest percentage, is one of them New York?
No. Not in the top four.
Okay. The state that voted Republican in this election but has produced the most Democratic presidents, what about West Virginia?
That's a good guess, but no.
How about South Carolina?
Oh, you're so close. Go.
North Carolina.
There you go. North Carolina. North Carolina.
Who are the two?
Do you want to, Megan? Do you want to guess, or it's a little obscure, but I'll give you a guess if you like.
That was a lucky move on my part.
All right. I'll tell you. It was James K. Polk and Andrew Johnson, both born in North Carolina. Thank you for that. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't want to.
For the colonies that have never had a president, is one of them Delaware?
Yes. Yeah, very smart of you to get that. Joe Biden was not born in Delaware, of course. He was born in Pennsylvania. Very good.
There's a Delaware fan club out there.
Yeah.
And my question for you guys tonight, the sovereign nation with the world's highest and lowest population densities are adjacent to one another in an alphabetical list of nations. And what are those two countries?
Monaco and Mongolia.
Has this been asked before? Is that too easy?
I don't know. Has it been asked before?
Both.
I think that's actually one of Josh Cosman's favorite pieces of information. I don't know that it's ever come up on the show. I just happen to know that that is one of Josh Cosman's favorite pieces of information.
That was good.
All right. Well, quick answer, Kira. Good for you.
Woo!
Thank you. Thanks, Megan. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. And Lori. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I think this is a quick question. So there's going to be a runoff in the Senate in Georgia for two Senate races, and anybody who was born after the election day is eligible to vote if they became 18 between November 4th and January 7th. How many people is that? How many people are there can register now who couldn't vote in the presidential election who can vote in the senatorial election and may swing the vote.
Do that question once more. I think I missed it.
Yeah, in that for the upcoming Senate race in Georgia, the runoff that they're going to be in, there's going to be two of them. People who could not, because they were not 18, could not vote in the presidential election, can vote in the upcoming senatorial election because they will have become 18 between November 4th and January 7th. How many people is that? I'll give you the 10% rule.
So in Georgia, how many people would that be?
And just as a plug, they're looking for people to phone bank to call these people to get them to register to vote. They're 18. They're all becoming 18 this week or within the next 2 months.
I don't know. Kira, do you want to guess?
You can high-low me. About 80,000. Let's start with 80,000.
Lower.
Lower.
I'll go with 20,000.
I'm going to give it to you. 23,000 people can now vote for in that 2 month period. So give yourself a bell on that one.
Thank you. Thank you, Kira, for throwing yourself on your sword there.
No problem.
And all right, I'm going to give you a quick question, and then we're going to take as many calls as we can for the last until the end of the show. So I have a list of city nicknames, which I'm not going to go through because there are five of them, and we don't have room for that right now. So I'll just give you one. Tell me what city this is in the U.S. What is the Venice of America?
Well, I think there are a few of them. I know Fort Lauderdale claims it.
There you go. Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
Good job. Okay. So you got that so quickly. I'll give you one more.
And I was going to say Venice, but apparently not.
What is the Queen City of the Prairie? What city does that nickname apply to? Excuse me. The Queen City of the Prairie.
Omaha.
Nope. Omaha. Not Omaha.
Were you?
I was. So I'll guess Kansas City.
Not Kansas City.
Okay.
All right. Leave that out. And in the meantime, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Hal out in Fremont. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Hal.
Good. So I believe Alex Trebek was hosted to Tell the Truth.
He did for a short time.
Like in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, good job.
And then I think he was also on a show called High Rollers.
He was. That might have been his most famous show before Jeopardy. High Rollers. Yeah, good.
Perfect. And the Guggenheim sculpture, I believe I remember hearing about that being made. Was it a golden toilet?
A solid gold working toilet. That is correct.
I remember hearing about that story, and I thought that just seemed so appropriate. So.
Yes. It was installed at the Guggenheim for about a year. It's a traveling toilet. Some huge number, like 100,000 people, different people got to use it. It was interactive sculpture. The Guggenheim offered to set it up at the White House. They had installation instructions and everything, but the White House did not take them up on it.
They turned them down. Huh?
Nice job. Thank you for getting that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. That's all I've got tonight.
All right. Well,
thanks for always having a great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
And Melissa, whose answer just got taken. She had nailed the golden toilet from the beginning of the show.
Oh, here's your bell for her.
My understanding is that many people nailed that golden toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. For the highest percentages for Biden, I think one of them is Massachusetts.
That's the top one. 65.3%. Very good.
And Hawaii?
That's it. Very nice. 63.7%.
Yeah, nice. That's only because I saw that. I was looking at that map earlier today. Let's see. Vice presidents who acceded to the presidency. Truman?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes. Two more? Got them both?
No, I'm going to leave those out.
Okay.
And for original colonies with no native-born president, what about Maryland?
Maryland's correct. Very good.
Okay. And for the Trebek questions, he hosted a show called Double Dare.
Yes, he did.
And yeah. Also, I think there was the $128,000 question, which I think was the follow-up or the takeoff on the $64,000 question.
That's both of those are right. Double Dare and $128,000 question.
Yeah, okay. And then just for laughs, regarding his own broadcast history, what were the three shows that he hosted simultaneously on the same day or at the same, you know, it happened on the same, on one day, but it made it a triplex of...
You mean he was hosting three shows at once, basically.
Yes.
They were running. Well, if I give you those, then I'll ruin the rest of my list. So
okay. Well, then okay. Forget it.
So, but I understand your question.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I think that's it. That's enough for me tonight.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Gene Genie by David Bowie is about Mick Jagger, by the way.
All right.
It's not You're So Vain. And here's the thing. I think Delaware was settled by the British because I'm thinking the White Cliffs of Dover, and Dover's the capital of Delaware.
Well, I can't say.
You can't say.
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure.
The two other presidents are Theodore Roosevelt and Warren Harding.
Theodore Roosevelt is one of them, and Warren Harding is not the other, I don't think.
No, Calvin Coolidge. He's vice president.
Correct. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, very good. That runs the category there. Thank you.
Okay. Now I've got one. Let's nail this. I love this show. Five states whose capitals, the names of their capitals are derived from French words, and you can define what the French words are.
Well, I mean, do the French capital names count, like Baton Rouge?
What is, or that's the obvious. That's one from the South, meaning red bat.
How about Pierre?
Pierre, that's good. South Dakota.
All right. Then
Montpelier?
Montpelier, right, named after a mount in France. That's Vermont.
Okay. So there are two more, right? Is that what
Three
you're saying?
Three more.
Three more, sorry.
I thought you said there were five. Okay, nice.
Huh, okay.
No.
Should we
I can give
west?
You the what they mean, and then you can get it from there.
No, you could try. Go ahead.
How about Young?
Young. Young.
How do you say Young in French?
Not my language.
Not your language?
Not my language. I took it in sixth grade, and that was the
well,
last
leave it. We'll come back to Young. What are the other two?
Well, that... Okay, the other two are, it means the monk, as in Trappist monk.
Oh, Des Moines.
Yes!
There you go.
Yeah, okay, and you got that, and, and the other one means the woods, as in the wilderness, the trees, the woods.
The woods. Oh.
Now, both of these are in the very northeast, northwest.
Northwest?
West.
Not Olympia.
No.
Not Moscow. Boise.
Boise.
Boise is the woods.
All right.
Oh.
I thought Boise was a made-up word. Okay.
No, right. It means...
Idaho is the made-up word.
Idaho is the made-up word. Yeah. You're right. That's my bad.
Right.
They're yes, that up. Is. One more. Go as far northwest as you can.
Olympia? Is not Olympia,
Harvard.
Sorry.
Juno.
Yes.
Juno.
Juno. That means youngin.
All right.
Nice.
June. So that's six capitals based on French words.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Pretty
it.
Good.
Sure thing.
All right. The bell for everybody. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see. The Alex Trebek game show, how about if he did host Wheel of Fortune?
Just for one day.
For one day.
Right.
That's right. Okay. the Queen City of the Prairie. I don't know. It's probably not Cincinnati, though. That is the Queen City. Right. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's not on the prairie.
Right. I don't know. Ottumwa, Iowa.
Nope.
Okay. Did you get all the three colonies where the presidents were never
born? No, we're still missing one.
The Rhode Island?
Rhode Island, yes.
Yay.
Good.
Nice.
All right, I got my bill. So since the election was this week, I wonder if you can, or was the election was last week, if you can tell me what Hall of Fame does Paul Thomas Anderson's father belong to?
Oh, boy. We're almost out of time. Let's see. We can each take one guess here if you want.
This has to do with the election?
No, it doesn't.
Oh. And this is...
Misdirection.
Okay, and, all right. And this is the director, movie director, Paul Thomas Anderson, right? This is
That's
not,
right.
I'll say,
not a James Bond situation.
I'll say bowling.
Well, that's good.
Is it in the arts?
It is.
Oh.
See, in the... Broadcasters Hall of Fame, something like that.
Oh, you're very close. Yeah, he's in the Horror Host Hall of Fame.
Oh,
he was known as Goulardi in Cleveland, and he hosted a late night horror show.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, nice.
And Jim Jarmusch credits him as an influence because he watched him as a young boy.
Well, thank you very much.
He was also the voice of ABC in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, right. We have to run. All right, thanks. Bye. Yeah, thank you very much. And okay, Kira, what have you got?
Cleaning up, the specifically named or title characters are the one with the most lines that we didn't get, Henry V, who is in second place with just over 1,000 lines. Of the fewest lines, the three we were missing were Cressida, Cymbeline, and Henry VI in Henry VI Part 1.
All right. And Lori?
I think I'm out. I am. I'm good.
Okay. Let's see. All I have left are, Queen City of the Prairie. That's Fort Worth, Texas. And the game show is hosted by Alex Trebek that nobody got. Wizard of Odds. That's ODDS, Odds. Battle Stars and Pitfall. So, all right. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and, of course, Lori Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. I love you, Greg. Happy anniversary. Our first anniversary was yesterday, so I'll be home soon. All right. And have a great week, everybody. And I hope it's almost as good as it was last week. So... please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.